Well, good morning again. It's good to see you all and be with you again and be able to worship God with you and enjoy the beautiful hymns that we have sang. Appreciate the theme, the thematic touch on the idea of the rock on which we build our lives. Appreciate that, Mike. And the idea of going to God in prayer, just being a part of saints who remember the death of our Lord and blend our thoughts and minds on it. It's always, that's the very purpose and thought that I have in my mind as I assemble with the saints. And appreciate so very much being with you and working with you on a regular basis. It's good to be able to get away from time to time, but it's always good to get back. And so it's a joy and a pleasure to be able to see you once again and worship God with you. First Peter, the third chapter, Peter is beginning to sort of wrap up some of the comments he wants to make before the brethren there, and we just finished a study of 1 Peter, and 1 Peter can be quite demanding, a difficult book of the demands that are made upon us. And I thought about that as the first Sunday of the year, first week we've gathered together, and it's always the occasion to think about our calendar, so to speak, and I thought we'd talk about something like that from the ideas that he was talking about. As he begins to sort of close up the thoughts, you know, 1 Peter 3rd chapter verse 8, he says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." He is saying, I want you to think seriously about your life and how you are described as the people of God, that you wear the name of Christ. And that means something. That has an impact upon our purpose in life and why we're here and what we're doing. And I thought about it just as this is the first Sunday of the year, the first day of the week for us. And we all almost always think about the starting over. It would be wonderful to do just that thought of what Peter has in mind here for us. We've got just several calendars. We've got a physical calendar. A physical calendar starts October 1. I guess we have an academic calendar. It starts September 1, I guess, or somewhere around there. Of course, we have a regular calendar. It starts January 1. So we've got different ways of looking at our year. And they describe different purposes in our life. But I just thought it would be interesting to think about our life in this coming year. And the thoughts that Peter really wants of us. He's talking about in verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind. And he talks about some other things. And then he quotes from the Old Testament, beginning in verse 10. He says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." As we turn the next page of our life, when we go from one year to another, we have another opportunity. As time is on our side, and we're on the side of this side of eternity, we have the opportunity once again to serve God and to live the kind of life he would have us to live. And he is quoting, as he writes here in verses 8 and 9, and then quotes from the Old Testament, he's putting forth the word of God as a guide in the way that we live every day. And I thought, man, what a wonderful thought. Just a difficult, take a situation in which he is saying the word of God should guide us. And when we think about the Bible, it is certainly the greatest book in the history of the world. It's not just talking about salvation, although that's extremely important. It's talking about how we live and what the purpose of our life really is. It is truly the foundation of all true happiness. It truly can describe our life and a source of everything, of all of our relationships. It's a storehouse of divine revelation. Just on a daily basis, how to be honest with everyone, how to be people who are good citizens and good spouses and good parents, and how we deal with this old dark world. And we should never forget that's the context we're in. You recall in John 8 that Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. But John tells us over in John, 1 John 5, and verse 19, he says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We live in a world that is dominated by the wicked one. We're trying to walk in the light. We're trying to be people who hold up the cause of Christ. How do we do that? How are we going to live this year? Are our thoughts about that? Are our thoughts about, man, I'm just doing everything I can do. I'm just trying to pay bills and raise kids and run a business, and that's about all I can do. And that's true. I understand that people. They seem to struggle with the idea of making it from day to day. But here Peter writes to these brethren who are being told they are about to face a very fiery trial. And he says, I want you to understand. I thought we'd just apply some of these things the way he would have us to look at it. Just in verse 10 again. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous. We all here have life today. I think every one of us do. But can we be described as being people who love life and see good days? Well, that may be different times of our life or different times of the nation's history. But Peter has this thought in mind. He who would love life and see good days. And he is describing a Christian in doing that. And so as I was thinking about it, I thought, well, we're just talking about it. What do you plan to do in 2020? How do you plan to live? And I understand, I underline the word you because I'm talking right to me and you, because that's the determination of how we're going to live our life. It's me. And others may affect, may help, may hinder, may relate to me in some way, but it's me. 2019 is gone. 2020 is before us. And if we don't think about how I'm going to live and why I'm going to live, then we might lose the point of what Peter is wanting us to do here, to live a certain way of life. And certainly he's holding forth the idea, he who would love life and see good days, let him do something. So I just thought some things that would come to my mind that as I was thinking about it, and things that might help us. One of the first things that comes to my mind, because I'm thinking about me, I'm thinking about the individual. How do you plan to live in the year 2020? To be acknowledging of the idea that I will live and walk after the Spirit of Christ. Look over in Galatians, the fifth chapter with me, Galatians 5. We read down at verse 16. Paul says this. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Paul gives a great contrast here on the differences in the way we live our life. And it's lifting our eyes up above, paying bills and dealing with people and taking care of daily business, because that's the way the world lives. And Peter's wanting us to live in a different way. And he is talking about this idea. He goes on to say, in verse 17, he says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And he goes on to tell us about the works of the flesh. And then down in verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. He's saying, I want you to decide that I'm going to live my life by the Spirit. I'm going to do this. Me. This is the way I'm going to live my life. most people figure out before they're 30, I guess, that probably there will be nothing in this world that will bother you as much as your own mind. You might think other people bother you, but it's really how you think about other people. But really, it's what's going on up here and getting things straight. And what Peter is wanting of us to, and how he wants us to conduct ourselves, to be able to say, I will do this. And that's the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I what? I will something. And then continue reading with him. Look at the way he just talks about it. Look back there with Psalms 23. And just this whole statement of what David would have us understand. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Continue with me. Because again, I say that this is one of the great statements of faith that we have in all the Bible. David simply says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. What a passage. What a worthy passage for us to have in our thought. The I wills. I will do this. I will walk according to the Spirit. Eternal life is promised to those who are led by the Spirit of God, who live like this, that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You prepare a table for me in the very presence of mine enemies. He's talking about life there. What's happening in my life? Look with me back in John, the 6th chapter. Jesus is having a problem there with his own disciples. And he is talking with them and he wants them to understand about walking in the Spirit and being people of the Spirit, as opposed to being people who walk according to the flesh, just the way the world goes when they kind of just bounce here, there, and yonder through life. But Jesus says, John 6 and verse 63, he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they're life. How do we walk in the Spirit? We walk according to the words of Jesus. That brings us back to that thought again. That's what I am. I'm a child of God. I am a Christian. And the person that is led by the Spirit is the one who walks according to the teachings of the Spirit. That's what Jesus just said. He said, my words I'm teaching you, they are Spirit. Should make us serious students of the Word of God, shouldn't it? Spend time just reading God's Word throughout this year. I don't expect you to memorize the book of Romans or something like that. But to be a person who spends time with the revelation of God. Like 1 John 1, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. For us to have fellowship with God, we're going to do what? We're going to walk in the light. That's what he's getting at here. And I just suggest to you, how do I plan to live this year in some way? As I spend time with God and prayer of my own, and I seek to magnify his cause in my life, I must recognize that to have fellowship with God, I'm going to have to walk in the light. It's the only way. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. And that's walking according to the Spirit, the very words of Jesus. So when we think about this coming year, I want to suggest to you, live according to or after the Spirit. And continuing with this idea of me again, let me suggest to you the next one. And that is live for self. He's demanding that. But don't live selfishly. People are called upon throughout the Bible to make decisions about their life. In Acts, the second chapter, Peter stands before this great crowd of people and he tells them, save yourself from this what? From this untoward generation? From this evil generation? He said, save yourself. As a listening audience, Peter expected them to respond to what he had just told them. And he had just told them in verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But again, it's this thought of, I've got to live myself. I can't live somebody else's life. I can't be somebody else. I can only be me. And Peter is telling these people, save yourself from this crooked generation. Look over in Philippians, the second chapter. Paul tells the Philippian brethren over there do almost the same thing, but he continues with this idea. Not just saving yourself. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In a very, very real way, we are responsible for our stand before our Lord. He came into this world and he died on the cross for us. He invited us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. There's a responsibility on our shoulders to respond to him. Come unto me. Or if we don't come to Jesus, then we don't have the promises that he is offering unto us. And we need to recognize that in our life on a daily basis, we can't lose sight of we're following the Lord. Because it's my responsibility. No one else can serve the Lord for me. Now, others may assist me. Others may help. They may encourage. But I'm going to have to be the one that makes the decisions for my life and control all of the events that are going on around me. As one person, one writer likes to say, we either control our desires or our desires will control us. And I think that's what a point. Whatever it's talking about, whether it's talking about money or eating or manges or whatever it may be, something's going to be in control and we have to respond by what God would have us to say, what he would have us to do. I'm reminded of Naaman. Naaman was told to go dip in the River Jordan. He got angry about it, and you recall his explanation was, behold, I thought. Well, he thought wrong. And he got it straightened out. And he was able to have what he desired. It doesn't mean living selfishly. It means living responsibly because we, again, wear the name of Christ. We are Christians. Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves, whether you be where? In the faith. Man, that's serious. That's a reflection on me of what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to accomplish. James, writing in James, the first chapter, says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, this one shall be blessed in his doings or in his deeds. So when we talk about how am I going to live this life? I don't know how the rest of the world is going to live. But what about the child of God? What about when we read this passage back here where Peter is saying, he who would love life and see good days, and let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil. Obviously, one of the things then I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to walk according to the Spirit. And that means I'm responsible for this. I'm going to have to live for self, but not selfishly. I'm living for self because I want to lead someone else to the truth and teach someone else the truth and have them recognize and be a part of the body of Christ. Let me suggest to you, thirdly, there's another one. Live as if in God's presence.
Boy, what a powerful thought. Read back with me again. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And that's promised throughout the Bible. Old and New Testament again. That's just a relationship of God to His people. Matthew 28, when Jesus tells them, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. He says, teaching them to obey whatsoever I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the end of the world. He knows. That's why the Bible talks about He knows the number of hairs on our head, that which I don't even know about myself. But He knows. He understands. He is with us. Look back with me in the Old Testament, the famous passage, Psalms 139, where David's talking about what God knows of him. And David is writing this about his relationship to his God. Psalms 139, and we read down at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell or in the grave, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. He goes on to say, even if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be a light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike. I live in the very presence of God, but I can't see Him with these eyes. But the Bible, Old and New Testament, tells us He's here. He knows our very thoughts. When you see here in Psalms 139, verse 1, He says, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. He knows us. That ought to make us stop and think about the fact that we serve a God that understands everything about us. And there is no wall so thick that He cannot hear through. There is no night that is so dark that He can't see through. He's here. He's with us. We sometimes sing the song, anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. That thought. And that thought is turned around in that I'm walking with the Lord. And it's not just that. It's also the idea that if I'm living in the presence of God, it's also that I represent God to the world about me. I should be concerned about how God sees me, but I should also be concerned about how the world sees me. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, he says, you are our epistles written and known by all men. The world is aware of us. The world knows of us. And whether or not they agree with us or not, they know what we believe and they know what the Bible says. We should remember that there may be many people who never read the Bible, but they'll read us. And what a tremendous responsibility that is. That was the very point that Jesus had in Matthew 5. When He says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Our to live and walk according to the revelation of God's Word. Walk according to the Spirit. Our to live for me, myself, because that's the only one that's going to answer before God, but I ought not live selfishly. Our to be concerned about how I walk to help and assist others. But our to live also knowing that God knows my thoughts. He knows my words. He understands who I am. And let me suggest to you last of all quickly, our to live as though today is my last day. Because one day it will be. And seems like the younger you are, the less that makes an impact upon you. But the older you are, the more of an impact that makes upon us. Each day becomes the last day for many people. You read the obituary section of the paper, you see there are people there. We understand that eternity is just a heartbeat away for us. Even James tells us that our life is but, our life is but a vapor. And it's a very sobering thought. And we are not to lose that thought. We are not to ignore that thought and put it out of our mind. We are to keep it before us. We're going to stand before God. And the question is, are we going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or are we going to hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity"? We are to start with what we know of 2019, because we just ended that year, and think, "I want to do this for the Lord. I want to study this. I want to accomplish that. I want to try a particular book. I want to read a certain thing and apply it to my life and maybe be able to teach that to others." In other words, it becomes a personal inventory. And again, how do you plan to live? Sometimes brethren don't care for the studying and the reading. Spend time in prayer that you may understand your place here. That I'm not just a knockabout, just bouncing through life. I am someone wearing the name of Christ who is trying to honor and glorify Him. We have an eternal home, the very presence of God. And it ought to urge every one of us, just as we go through this doorway, this road sign of a new year. What's my relationship to God? What is my relationship to the Lord? And if we do that, and these are not just all of them, but just some we could come up with. But if we will dedicate ourselves to it, we'll be blessed in this life, and our life will be made rich. Go back with me to 1 Peter again. Let me just read the last few verses there that we were looking at, because he's holding forth this way of saying it, verse 10. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. "He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from the evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." We would be richly blessed if we could take these thoughts and apply them to our life, and a year from now be blessed with a further knowledge and experience of serving the Lord, magnifying Him and His cause. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. We hadn't been talking about the plan of salvation. But Jesus just simply said in Mark 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And we need to recognize that it takes a faith that's strong enough to obey Him, live for Him, confess Him, be baptized into Christ. Or maybe there's a child of God here this morning who needs to make their life right before the brethren. Ask God's forgiveness and begin anew to walk the straight and narrow path, to walk in the light as He is in the light. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come? We stand and sing.